risen. He is risen indeed. I want to talk this morning about what the resurrection guarantees. And before I say anything about anything else, I just had a personal thought about, you know, I love my mom, and my mom is in heaven. My dad, I love my dad, and my dad's in heaven. And I'm going to see them again, you see. Now, that's because of one thing. It's because of Jesus rising from the dead. It's because of his resurrection that we are resurrected. He's the only one that did it. There is no other name in heaven and earth. What is the gospel? The gospel is the proclamation of God's triumph over death, the power of darkness that rules the human heart. Isn't that true? And because man has fallen from God in disobedience, God has prepared a plan of redemption before man was even ever created. And this is how it works. God became a man, the person of Jesus. He walked a sinless life. He revealed the heart of the Father through miracles and the touch he had on people's lives. He revealed the heart of the Father. Most people have a struggle with the heart of the Father. He revealed the heart of the Father by healing those who were oppressed by the devil. And he voluntarily offered himself on the cross. He voluntarily offered himself. It wasn't an accident. It was all part of the plan. Before the foundations of the earth were set, the plan was between in the councils of heaven that Father God and Jesus had decided, and the Holy Spirit decided that Jesus would die for the sin of humanity. And he rose again from the dead, breaking the power of death forever to rule over mankind and thereby offering us eternal life. I want to invite you to just read a bunch of the Bible to get to know him, so that there's a lot of kooky things going on around these days that are not good, and you can just dispel a lot of it just by opening your own Bible and reading it and finding out. There's some that say that everybody's going to be saved and there is no hell, and they believe it because it's a doctrine of demonic entrapment. But the reality is, you read your Bible and you find out there actually is indeed, and that there's one way to salvation. It's through the person of Jesus Christ. There's not another door. There's not a whole bunch of doors. There's one. Because only one rose risen from the dead. One. There's only one. And it's irrefutable. It's undeniable. Let's go ahead and look into the story. Matthew 28, 1 through 15. I just want you to listen in. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus." Everybody say, "Who was crucified?" "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Wow. I'm going to read this next part, which is the scam part. While they were going, behold, some of the guards went to the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. And so they took the money, and they did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. They were fearful of losing their place, and they couldn't be real. So that story has gone, and people still said that today. But I want you to understand something. And there are many accounts at the end of Luke, at the end of Mark, at the end of John, and this one here in Matthew, where Jesus appeared to people. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says there, and there are several accounts, but in the book of Acts, it says, it's Acts of chapter 1, verse 3. Look at this. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings, everybody say, by many proofs, appearing to them 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. He presented himself alive to them. 40 days, Jesus, by many proofs showing that he is alive. Do you know, there's a movie out, Case for Christ. And it's about Lee Schnabel, who was a journalist and an atheist. And this has happened many times. Many different people from different backgrounds will go and do the research to prove. And usually they figure, I'll have it proved that Jesus didn't rise from the dead in a weekend. And then they open the Bible and they read the historic accounts, and there's other historic documents other than the Bible that prove that Jesus was alive and that he indeed rose from the dead. It's amazing. You just do the history and you go to all the sources and it's verifiable. This makes all the difference in the world. It's not just one little group over here. This is the worldwide Jesus Christ who comes back. It's everything changes because of the person of Jesus. The person of Jesus. He's the only one that saves. The only Savior of the world. Nobody else has risen from the dead except the people that he raised from the dead. He has the power of eternal life. He is the Savior of mankind. There is no other name by which you can be saved. There's no confusion. You can't say another name and get to him. You have to say his name. And you call upon the name of the Lord. And it's not some other name. It's the name Jesus or Yeshua in the Hebrew terminology. It's the word Jesus, the living Christ, who's risen from the grave. There is but one name. And when you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, something begins to happen. It's in what happens is the heart is dead in sins and it's darkened. And when you come to the realization that he is who he says he is, we were thinking about this the other day. You know, little kids, if they're raised up with character, if their mommy and daddy give them little swats on the rear end and they learn about yes and no and doing right things, when they see the gospel of Jesus, when they come to see the sacrifice of the Lord and they see the difference, they receive, kids with character receive Jesus really fast. But little kids that are just super brats and rebellious, who don't want to obey mommy and daddy and are not shaped by mommy and daddy, the moment they see it, they run from it. Because darkness covers the heart of man. I want to talk about two things. I want to look at the two undeniable facts of history. Jesus is crucified for our sin, and he's resurrected from the dead. Just tell the person next to you, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. You can say it. You can say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's some great passages in the Bible, and some of them are these. There's an Old Testament passage I was reading a few weeks ago in my study, and I was looking at it, and it really impacted me. It's an Exodus. Look at this with me. 29 verse 37. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and consecrate it. And the altar shall be most holy. Whoever touches the altar shall become holy. Now what happened here is this. God gave Moses some instructions. And for 7 days, in the morning and in the evening, a lamb 2 years old, without blemish, was brought. The lamb was sacrificed, the blood was taken from the lamb and sprinkled on the altar. First morning, first night. Second morning, second night. Third morning, third night. Fourth morning, fourth night. Fifth morning, fifth night. Sixth morning, sixth night. Seventh morning, seventh night. And in the 7 days, God says, now, because of the blood, this altar is holy. I don't know why God does it this way. But in the Old Testament, there's a picture. There's to call them types and shadows. And see, what he's going to do is he's going to make an altar holy. What does holy mean? Holy means, to be made holy means to consecrate, to sanctify, to prepare, to dedicate, to be hallowed, be holy, to be sanctified, to be separate. Now, I'm reading this, and I'm thinking about the blood of Jesus. The first part for us, the crucifixion. We talked about this Good Friday. Jesus was at the whipping post. They whipped in his back, pulled the flesh out of his back. He was whipped where he could hardly even breathe after that. I don't even know how he made it all the way to Golgotha. 39 times with a cat of nine tails, which are chips of metal and all kinds of stuff, just ripping the flesh out of his back. This is the nature of what's going on. Then they take him and they squeeze a crown of thorns into his head. Got blood just pouring out his head. Then he gets all the way to Golgotha, the cross, and he willingly allows them to go ahead and put the nails in his hand. Blood is pouring out his hands. Then his feet. Then later, after the fact, after he's given his spirit, given his life, willingly, they shove a spear into his side and blood and water coming running out of his side. And the blood is poured on the cross. 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 And what happens? The cross is the altar that becomes holy. And whoever touches the cross becomes holy. Because God has sanctified the altar through the blood of his Son. And you and I come and we have our shame and we have our problems and we try harder and we got all the stuff that we try to do. And he says, I've already done it. Come to the cross. And you touch the cross and I make you holy. You're not holy on your own. There's nothing you can do. You can't climb up on a mountain and soak in a bottle of Clorox to get holy. You can't do any. You can't work hard enough. You can't memorize enough scripture. You can't do enough to be holy. But you can touch the cross. And your shame will go away. And the power of the blood through the cross will destroy the sin that has bound your life and break its hold over your life. And this is where God says, what I say holy is holy. And it's not through a lamb, but it's through a person, the Lamb of God. And Jesus comes as the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He comes as the Lamb, and his blood is shed on the cross. And now the cross becomes the tool of transformation. That's why we sang a little earlier in the video, we saw, lead me to the cross. Lead me to the cross where the blood poured out. There's power in the sanctifying effect of God's blood. Now, every year, the Jews were always reminded again and again of their sins, because the ritual that was established through the sacrifice system of the animals was limited. They had to take it by faith that their sins were forgiven because they saw the slain animal. And once a year, one time a year, the high priest would come into a tabernacle that was made as a copy of what's in heaven. And they would come, and they'd come into the holy place, and then there was a veil. And then once a year, he would come into the most holy place. And there was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark was the manna from heaven, the Ten Commandments, and the budding rod of Aaron. And there was three things were inside of the Ark. And once a year, he would take the blood and he would come behind the veil and sprinkle it on the Ark of the Covenant as a symbol of what was in heaven. But it never cleansed the conscience of the Jewish people. Then we see in Hebrews 9:14, how much more will the blood of Christ, through everybody say eternal spirit. I'm going to give you the opportunity to be the theologian now and tell the person next to you, that's the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Go ahead. So the blood, through the eternal spirit, offered himself. See, the blood of Christ, through the eternal spirit, offered himself without blemish to God. So here's how much more. See, what we're contrasting is these animals. And he's saying, wait a minute, this is a yearly thing, this is a yearly thing, but now this is amazing, this is so amazing. Jesus is the Lamb of God, but now, and he dies, he's crucified and he's buried. Do you know, because of the being buried, if he had not risen, you'd still be dead in your sins? The resurrection empowered the crucifixion. The resurrection, the eternal spirit enlivened and gave power. It's kind of like you. If you die, you leave a will. If you leave a will, you can't execute the will until the person's dead. But in Jesus' case, it was his will. And he died. And now you can execute the will. But then he comes back to life so he can actually execute the will. He comes back to life, and now he's reading his own will. And he says, you get forgiveness. You get eternal life. This is his will. His will is, you are forgiven of all your sins. I will break all the generational things that have gone wrong over the seasons of the life of your family. I break them. This is my will. You won't be held back anymore because of what I'm doing. I have broken it by the power of the cross. And I've risen again to see to it that you will be alive with me forevermore. Yeah. Hallelujah. Purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It did not matter year after year after year. It didn't matter. Their consciences were never cleansed of their sin. They just said from a proclamation, the high priest went in, and every year they had to do it. But then once and for all, Jesus came and he says, we're going to fulfill a new covenant. And in the new covenant, I'm going to come by my spirit. And I'm going to write my law on your heart. And this is a key thing. He says, and I will remember your sins no more. Go ahead and say, I want some of that. Go ahead and say, I want some of that. I want some of that. Because there's something of a confidence that comes when you quit considering your failure and you consider His victory. When you quit replaying the shame of your decisions and you start acknowledging the fullness of what He has accomplished for you. Your confidence comes on the basis of a completed work that Jesus Christ has done in your place. How many of you are just sick of being religious about trying to fulfill what you can't even do to begin with? Living under the shame of, if I just try harder, I'll do better. And the Lord says, come to me, all you who are laboring and weary and heavy laden. Why does He say that? Learn of me. Learn what I've done for you. We talked a few weeks ago about the reality that is there something more that Jesus needs to do, or is it that you don't really understand what He's really done? And once you understand the fullness of what He's done, your heart will change when you open to that. Look, guys, we said this on Good Friday. You cannot get into heaven by paying money. Some of you, maybe you feel like you're just good looking enough that God will let you in on your good looks. That's not going to happen. Or if I could just do enough good deeds for enough people. Good deeds are important, but they don't buy salvation. They don't buy anything. But you know how you get in? You bring Him sin. It's an amazing thing. Your only way in is you bring Him your sins, and He gives you His righteousness. You come and touch the cross, and whoever touches the altar is made holy. All you got to do is just keep coming to the cross. Come to the cross. And the resurrection power of Jesus becomes alive in you. And He takes what has been creating death in your life, and He puts that to death. And He releases who you're meant to be up out of there, and you become who you're intended to be because of what He has done. And I somehow need to just... I got it. Let's go get a surgeon and we'll open up everybody's heads and we'll put this truth in there and we'll shut them back up so that you'll all have it. Does that work for you? How about let's just all open our hearts to the depths and say, Jesus, You have done it all for me. You have done it all for me. Praise You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't that true? Paul said it incredibly in 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. I'm going to go ahead and read the first part, and we have a slide coming. It says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable. Man, that's amazing. When the perishable puts on the imperishable. When the mortal puts on immortality. Look at your skin there. That's your earth suit. How many of you know once you pass like 18, it's all downhill from there on? Is it right? It starts to deteriorate, right? Your earth suit, this tent, is just going to be here for a little bit. But you're going to take off this perishable and you're going to put on what's not perishable at all. You're going to take off what's mortal and you're going to put on immortality. And the verse is declared, death is swallowed up in victory. Let's just soak it in. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death. Jesus has swallowed up death in His victory. And it says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Can I tell you where the sting of death is? It's in the heart of the person who doesn't know Jesus when they're on their deathbed. That's where the sting of death is. That's where that cloak of darkness comes and mocks and says, I have this one. I remember his name was Dan Boone. I'd only been saved less than a year. He was a man who lived down the road. His wife He was an older fellow, like a grandfather guy. His wife went to our church, and Dan was up the road in a hospital, and he was dying. And I didn't really even know him very well. I'd talked to him once or twice. And I'm just a brand new believer in Jesus Christ, brand new baby Christian. Because I received the Lord when I was 17. I think I was not even 18 yet. And the Lord profoundly put it on my heart, Dan Boone is not going to heaven. And I became miserable. So I got my other brand new saved friends, there were four of us. And we drove up to the hospital, another county away. And he was there in the bed, dying. Within a few days, he would be dead. And we started saying, we don't want you to die and go to hell, Dan. Jesus Christ has died for your sins, Dan. And we were just pouring the gospel on. And it was a really interesting thing because we finally got him to nod. But that wasn't enough for my friend that I took with me. And before we were done, he was rocking in the bed. And the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him. And he had opened his heart and he realized, Jesus has saved me. And he was on his deathbed and God poured his love into this man. And you could tell by the face on his face, his countenance changed from death to life. And within a few days, he'd gone into glory and was with Jesus. Oh, death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have one little other passage I want to look at here with you. This is based on a little story in Numbers chapter 7. Actually, 16 leads up to 17. About the people of Israel and their rebellion against God and against Moses. It leads up to this. And now the reason I'm pointing this out to you is because it's a picture of Jesus and his resurrection power. And what happens is, through a series of events, there are these people that want to vie for ministry positions in that they say, well, he speaks to all of us. And God had already picked the Levites to actually take care of the tabernacle and the house of the Lord. And there were rebellious ones from other tribes wanting to get in on, well, God uses us, he can prophesy through us. And there was this big thing. Well, it's really kind of a horrifying thing. This is the R-rated version of the Bible where the ground swallows up a bunch of people, you know what I mean? And it's where a plague breaks out. And it's just the stuff you go, good, man. Because doing things in right order is important to God. And he wants to establish something. And so anyway, after all that happens, he's going to establish this once and for all. And he says, go to each of the tribes of Israel, the 12 of them, and each of them have a staff. And on that staff is the name of the tribe. And he says, on the tribe of Levi, write Aaron's name and gather all the 12 staffs and come and bring them into the tent of meeting. This is where the presence of God dwells. And God's going to show who his high priest is. He's going to show who his high priest is. And so they come back the next day. And it says, on the next day, Moses went into the tent of testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms, and it bore ripe almonds. All the other sticks are laying there, dead sticks. And one staff is fully blossomed and has ripe almonds on it. You go, whoa, wow. And it's a testimony that I got one high priest and one family that's going to be doing this. One anointing is going to be staying on this. And that points toward Jesus Christ. Because he was laid in the tomb and he came forth. This is called resurrection power. You know what the real purpose of this is? Is there anything dead in your life? Is there anything dead in your life? And God says, I'm going to show you who the high priest is. I'm going to show you who the high priest is. I'm going to cause life to come where there was death in you. where all hope is gone, and I want you to take the thing that you have been so, the greatest thing where you have had the greatest sense of turmoil and sense of loss over. Go ahead in your mind right now. The thing that you've had the greatest sense of loss about. Let's take that and put that before the Lord in your mind right now. And let's go ahead and lift our hearts to the Lord. And where the turmoil has been, and where the struggle has been, and where the hellish work of darkness has come to put death into your life. Where death has been reigning in your life. The Lord is saying this: I'm going to cause this deadness to blossom with new life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The spirit of hope is in the room. Because I went back and forth about this illustration, and the Lord says, no, we're going to use this because I'm going to release resurrection power into places in people's hearts where they have been dead. And I'm going to cause life to come again. Just go ahead and thank Him for it right now. Thank Him for it. The last thing in the world I want you to do is to act like this is not for you. Because if you act like it's not for you, you don't receive. But if by faith, look, I'm a pastor. I go to seek God. God drops things in my heart. Well, my heart, what are they for? They're not for me. Sometimes they are, but they're for you. They're for you to change and help and cause things to come about that wouldn't come about where you've given up. And God says, give me the staff and I'm going to take it in my tent. Give me this lost hope. Give me what's dead and I'm going to take it and I'm going to put it in my tent. And I'm going to cause life to come. Life to come. Let's praise Him right now. Just go ahead and look. We need to worship Him. And just say, if you're new to this, just say, thank you, Lord. Just say, thank you, Lord. 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 Let's praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's three places where God wants to release life. The first one is if you've never actually known Jesus ever and you're still dead in your own sins. The Lord says, I want to give you new life in Jesus Christ. I want to give you new life in Jesus Christ. Right now. Right now. There's two things that we've been doing, we've been talking about. And right now you come to the cross and you touch the cross. And the blood of Jesus comes and cleanses you and causes your heart to have a new conscience, a new awareness that you're loved by God and you're cherished by Him and He cherishes and cares about you. Let's just keep our hearts open to the Lord as I'm talking because the Lord's moving. He's just moving in the room. Just very gently and subtly He's ministering. I feel a weight coming off of somebody's heart right now. When we get into these times, please get your heart attentive. The Lord, you don't want Jesus to walk by without touching you. You want Him to touch you when He comes by. The Lord is moving a boulder out of somebody's heart. It's a weighty thing, and it's coming off. It's been pressure for a season, and it's coming off right now. It is coming off right now. The rest of us, let's just go ahead and celebrate. Praise you, Jesus. We don't always know who in every person, but there's a work of the Holy Spirit come, and He's lifting off a pressure that has just squashed you for a season, and the Lord says, I'm taking what has been purposed to cause you to be dead, and I'm giving you new life. There was a purpose in the things that you went through, that hell had a purpose. He says, but I have a greater purpose. Do you know that the ruler of this world, had he known Jesus was raised from the dead, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory? Satan got involved thinking he was going to win. He always loses when it comes to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And it brings new life to your spirit. It brings new hope to your heart. And new almonds and new blossoms and new buds. There's vision for you about what God has for your life. New purpose. New things that God wants to accomplish in you. Let's praise Him. Just praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord. Let's walk into the pool. Just walk into the pool. Go from the shallow end to the deep end and just move on in. Say, Lord, I'm here with you. I want to be flooded with your goodness. Because everybody who starts with, you know, everybody who has a relationship with Jesus had a moment when they started the relationship. There was a moment when you start the relationship. You know when you didn't have the relationship, and you know when you started the relationship. You don't get into heaven having never started the relationship. There's a day when you come and you confess that Jesus is the Savior and He's your Savior, and you come and you receive Him and you take hold of Him and He takes hold of you, and it begins. And it's kind of like, I take thee, Jesus, to be my lawfully wedded God, and I take you to be my lawfully wedded son or daughter in the faith, and we're married to the living God. And you start. You start. You start your relationship. It's a good day, isn't it, when you start your relationship? It's a good day. And now, here's what happens. You start the relationship, and you can go on for a while. There's an old hymn that says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And the Lord says, if you've been wandering around, give me what's dead in you. And I'll put resurrection life in you. And I'll cause you to blossom in me like never before. You'll be rededicated to what God's purposes are. Let's go ahead and say, I choose to be rededicated today. I'm going to come and touch the cross today. And whatever's not been holy and separated unto God, I'm coming to touch the cross so that I can be completely His all over again. Praise you, Lord. This is a good Easter service. I don't know who you are, but I want you to understand, this is a good message from the Lord's heart, not because of me, but because of all that Jesus has done. And I can't even begin to say the depths of the things that He would do in and through your life. There are joys untold that many of you have never begun to even taste because hell has robbed you of the happiness that you can have walking with Jesus. It's like the thief has picked your pockets and you walk around as a poor beggar. And the Lord says, I want to stuff your pockets full of blessings. You don't have to be that person anymore. Come and rededicate your heart to Him and let the Lord begin to pour His goodness into your life. This is amazing. This is one of the most, I memorized this when I was a brand new baby Christian. I memorized this verse. And now it makes sense to me. I have been crucified with Christ. I've touched the cross, and God says, I've taken what was death to you, and I've given you life in me. I've been crucified. All those things that I thought would fulfill me, and they didn't. All the lies, all the bad ways I've gone, everything I've turned to, all the missteps, all the mistakes, they're all dead. They're crucified in Christ. Everything's gone. It is no longer I who live. Now He says, now it's not me out of my own sense of I got to do it all. He says, but Christ who lives in me. Somebody just shoot up a prayer and say, thank you, that's me, Jesus, that's me. You're living it in me. You're living it in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Everybody say, who loved me and who gave Himself for me. Let's go ahead and all stand just for a second here. Just go ahead and let's stand before the Lord. Would you lift your chin to the Lord? Lift your face. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 3, it says, He's the glory and lifter of our heads. Let's just open afresh to Him. We come and stand before You, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you're the Savior of the world, and it is my hope and my prayer that every single person here would know you, know the depths of your love, have their starting place, or have their coming back to start over place. It is a great desire that people be fulfilled in your purpose for them. And so we say, Holy Spirit, come afresh right now on every heart. Come afresh on every heart right now. Awaken us, Lord, for those who need you and are going to start fresh for the first time. I claim their soul for you, Lord. I ask that you would move in their hearts and cause them to feel the depth of your love. As you were on the cross and you said, I've done this for you. Give me everything that went wrong and I'll give you everything that goes right. I'll pour my hope into you, my life into you, my love into you. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, for those that are just saying, I've wandered around and I'm tired of wandering around, it is my time to come and touch the cross and to be made new again and to be rededicated and reconsecrated to the purpose of God. Praise you, Jesus. Say, Father God, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for dying for me and rising again. Thank you for the power of the cross that makes me holy as I come to touch it. Thank you for making this morning an altar from on high to establish your kingdom in me. And now I choose you, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. Everybody said amen.